Praise God for you. I know that that you come to church to worship, to fellowship, and to hear the word of God, and those are good reasons. I want to talk for a minute about waffles, not that I had one today, not that I've had one recently, but you know, the smell of a waffle is something special. Oh yeah, right? You're more excited for waffles than almost Jesus, but I get it. It's so compelling. You know, when you're at one of those restaurants that have that kitchen that has the flipper waffle deal, and you go down there, and you think you should have an omelet, but you want a waffle, and the line for the waffles is so much longer than the line for the eggs. And there is a great reason for that, actually. When my children were young, Martin and I made a lot of waffles. Sometimes when the waffle would come out of the waffle maker, rarely when he made them would they do this, but often when I made them, they would break. They would crack off somehow. And what do you do with a broken waffle? Yes. You or I would eat it. I would also, if you came to my house, I would tell you what my mother told me, quote unquote, shut your mouth and eat it. It's gonna look worse by the time it gets to your stomach. Presentation was not a big deal. Getting filled up was. And so this morning, I want you to turn to Leviticus real quick. Chapter 24. Smells tell a story. That's what I want to share real quick with you. They connect you with your emotions. Smells can take you in your memory, can take you in your mind back to a pleasant time, back to a hard time. Smells can do that. The scent of a fresh rain can do that. I know when my children were little, smells were important to me. If I didn't have time to make cookies, I always had a batch of Pillsbury sitting in a drawer somewhere in the refrigerator in case I ran out of time, I could slice a few and put them in the oven so that when they walked in the door, they would smell of the cookies baking. Martin didn't know it, but oftentimes when I didn't have time to clean, I'd get a cotton ball and I'd wipe along the baseboard of the entryway. He'd walk in and say, "Wow, you really cleaned today." I said, "Yes, I did." Smells. For good or for bad. They matter. They matter. In the temple, instructions were given to Moses, and there is a strange commandment given there that should always be bred before the Lord. And I want you to look at Leviticus 24. We're going to read 5 through 8, and thou shalt take thine flour, bake 12 cakes thereof, 2/10 deals shall be in one cake. Thou shalt set them in 2 rows, 6 in a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. Hang in there. Leviticus is entirely boring, but there's a reason we're doing this. And thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord, continually being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. Now, this commandment is strange because God never eats the bread in any way at all that is placed before him. Nor is the bread ever offered as a sacrifice in the temple before the priests, according to God, at any time. Instead, the bread is renewed once a week And the priests are giving the week-old bread. And that is served in the temple. The priests would divide up the week-old bread amongst themselves, 5 to the high priest and the other 7 to the other priests who served. I'm going to a place, I'm cutting this up as I go so we don't have to be here too long. And all the children said, very good. The bread is baked once a week. Now listen, there's points that you're going to have to get along the way. It's baked every week and it must be replaced in such a way that there is always bread before the Lord. Our hearts are that bread, that sweet smell before the Lord. Listen, today we had a fun time praying for one another, an altar call that shouted, God, I'm broken, fix me. Some brokenness really needs God to come and perform a miracle. Other brokenness, God needs you to just knock it off. Everything's not a miracle. If you're hooked on porn, yeah, ask God to forgive you. Quit clicking the button. If you're eating the wrong thing, quit buying it. If you're hooked on cigarettes, quit buying them. There's a certain amount of things you have to do. A dear friend of mine was a heroin addict, and she just couldn't quit. She loved the Lord. I loved her. I'd say, man, just can you knock it off? She'd say no. She died of an overdose. She didn't have the constitution. She just couldn't do it. So that's a weak person. The Bible says uphold the weak. I'm happy to do it. We uphold the weak. But how willing are you to write your life off to say, I was just a weak guy? You know, that's a big risk. What if when you get to heaven, the Lord says, you weren't really a weak guy. You were a lazy guy. Your reward for eternity has been diminished. That's creepy, right? I mean, I don't know truly how heaven works. I don't think people walk around kicking dirt saying, man, if I just would have, I think hell's more like that. I don't think heaven's going to be like that. But in that one moment where we hand our crown to the Lord, I think there's glory in that, or diminished glory in that. And so whatever we do according to the Lord, according to Colossians 3:23, be not condemned in the doing. Just do it. Do it for the Lord. Let the person next to you be your Jesus in that moment as you bless them abundantly and profoundly. Amen. The bread must be baked every week so the smell of it fills the temple. Unlike a light coming from a lamp, you know, you can block it. I've got a window in my bedroom that the light insists on coming through there. So I got to put this thing up to tell it to get lost. I got to block it. You cannot stop the smell of fresh bread. I don't care how hard you try, you can't. My little grandson got off the bus and he came over and he brought his little friend and I did my cookie trick because I know how. This house smelled like cookies. Now, he knew it would. Hear me. His friend did not. His friend was amazed. He said, man, your grandma's cool. He goes, yeah. 10 minutes later, the little child's father knocked on my door. Is my son here? I said, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't think to send him home. He just kind of came in. But my grandson encouraged him, so don't be too hard on him. He looked at me and he goes, wow, it smells amazing in here. Now, I can promise you when that man drives by that house, he's going to think of one thing, going to think of those cookies. When that little boy gets off the bus, he's going to think of one thing, those cookies. And when he got home, if he got a spanking for coming somewhere he wasn't supposed to go. In the back of his mind, he's going to say it was worth it. Because why? Those cookies. It's always going to be worth it. Isn't that right, Karen? Cookie is always going to be worth it. The odor of the bread fills every part of the building, from the bottom to the top of the temple. You can imagine people walking by smelling this bread, and really there's nothing quite like fresh baked bread, is there? It's a beautiful smell. When you get to Disneyland, you immediately want cookies. You want bread. You want things maybe you ought not have, but for sure you're gonna have. Because they spray vanilla, most people know that, through those lampposts as you enter Disneyland. There's a wafting smell of vanilla. They did it on purpose because they know smells matter. God knows smells matter. You see? They matter. So let the fragrance of your life matter to somebody else. That's a good ending, but I'm going further. The power of odor, of smells, is only applied when the bread is fresh. Stale bread has no scent. Are you coming with me? Stale bread has no scent. When your life is old before God, your spirit is wretched, you haven't put in through the word, you've ignored the obedience, the sacrifice God requires, you become stale bread, and thereby you don't smell so good when God walks by. But fresh bread smells amazing, and it fills the room with the aroma. That is why the priests were told to constantly bring new bread into the presence of the Lord. The new bread, here's the news, it covers up old bread. You could be as stale as you want to be, but man, when new bread hits, you forget about the old bread, and so does God. I've told this story before, and I'll tell it again, of Evelyn. She was an older woman, blind. She was in the back of a church that I was speaking at. I saw her come in and, you know, being nice. How many knows I'm nice? I'm nice. I thought, oh, there's a lady. I'll go say hi to the nice old lady. And I went to her and I patted her on the back and I said, oh, well, it's good to have you. You know, thanks for coming. And I walked past her, and I walked down the aisle of Sanctified Deeds, somewhere over here, to my chair, for it was time for me to speak pretty soon. And I sat there where the pastor asked me to sit. I was convicted, you know, in my heart. And the Lord said, I want you to go give her a hug. I said, well, you know, I just did. I did that already. He goes, yeah, but I want you to hug her like I would hug her. I thought, well, I did give her kind of like a side shoulder back kind of a hug, you know. The Lord said, you do what I tell you. So I will say that I walked faster coming up to my chair than I did walking back to her chair. I got to her and I sat next to her, and it was easy to find a chair because she smelled real bad. She was homeless. And she had that homeless smell, you know, the combination between sweat, whiskey, vomit, and BO. It's a very unique smell. She had it, and I sat next to her, and I could hear the Lord saying, let me get at her. Let me get at her. I want to hug her. I can only hug her as close as you'll get. Okay, so I got on close, and I rubbed arms with her. And I put my arms around her. And I said, oh, what's your name? She said, oh, my name's Evelyn. And I said, well, hello, Evelyn. My name is Sandy. She said, yes, you greeted me already. Boy, what a ticket out, right? Check. Okay, she's happy. I'm happy. But that day changed my life forever. because I said, well, I want to give you a hug from the Lord. And I hugged her, and she said, oh, thank you. And I said, no, that's probably as good as I can do, but Evelyn, I want to attempt to do something as the Lord would do. And her face hadn't been washed probably for weeks. It was thick with grease. Her teeth had mold growing on them, green sponges that hadn't been brushed in who knows how long. She was altogether filthy. And, you know, you're either going to get it right or wrong in that moment. And when you revisit it with God, he's not going to say, oh, yeah, I totally understand. We have to be careful before we consider what God understands. He understands far little than we think concerning our bad behavior. He feels like this is what we need to do, then that's what we need to do. He's not going to make excuses for us along the way. I knew what I needed to do, and therefore I couldn't get out of it. So I hugged her real tight, and she patted my hand. And then I said, Jesus loves you. She said, I know. I said, no, he really, really loves you. And I pressed my mouth upon her cheek. My lips. And I pressed so hard until I couldn't smell her anymore. I pressed so hard until the tears coming down her face ran across my mouth. I pressed so hard that I couldn't smell her anymore, and time went by and I forgot about time. I was praising the Lord with one hand and she was praising the Lord with the other. I don't know how much time passed. It seemed like forever, and then it seemed like just a moment. But it is the smell that would have prevented me. And in the end, it was the smell that captivated me. When you turn all the stinky, rotten, smelly, horrible things of your life over to God, pretty soon they smell good. And then she began to speak in tongues. And I said, oh, praise the Lord, Evelyn, praise the Lord. And I was weeping. She says, it's a no, sister, you don't understand. I said, oh, it's okay, Evelyn. She goes, no, it isn't. I'm a Methodist. I go, that's okay. And she continued to worship the Lord. And the Lord said, now maybe you can preach something to somebody. And we had a great service. The showbread represents a constant renewing of the prayers of the people in the presence of God, and that's what this showbread is. The Lord wants a constant, fresh renewal of who we are and his intention over our lives. Amen. As we go through life, you know, sometimes we're able to hide the effect of sin to those around us. We can go for years, but God always knows. And because we think we're getting away with it, we think God winks at it. He doesn't. Payday will always come. The life you live is a great investment, either to the enemy or to the Lord. The smell lingers and clings to everything around us, smell does, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Sin will create a familiar spirit. Then we begin to look for those engaged in like or familiar sins and habits and behaviors. The devil is never happy leaving you alone in your sin. He'll always bring you a buddy. He's good that way. I'm sorry if you smoke, but guess what? We know you're doing it because we could smell you. You think you're hiding it. You're not. I'm sorry if you work at a fast food restaurant. We know you work there because you need to wash your hair and change your clothes. You smell like fried food, which is not a sin and not terrible, but what I'm telling you is what you're around will linger. I took one of my grandsons with me to, you know, one of those UPS stores, I think, back when the world was open. And we came in, and I thought, well, what is that smell? And he goes, I don't know, Grandma. I'm like, well, okay. And I looked at him and I said, do you have something on your shoes? And he goes, no. I go, okay. So we go up and the smell comes wherever I go. I check my feet. I'm like, I'm good. I look at him and I go, he goes, Grandma, it's not me. I'm like, so then as we leave, I notice the smell's going with me. And I look behind me and there was little small footprints of dog dew that came from his shoes. He felt so bad. So, and I took his shoes off and threw them in the garbage. I'm like, I am not cleaning those. He stepped in it, and it went everywhere he went. Well, you step in it, you roll around in it, it's going to go everywhere you go. You might think you're hiding it from folks, but you're not hiding it from God. Just because he's long-suffering, man, give him a break. It doesn't mean he approves. Isaiah 64:6 says, but we're all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness, they are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, they have taken us away. Isaiah is saying that even the things we do well are terrible and smelly to God because he is so perfect. If our righteousness lingers and we count on it, what we're doing is we're counting on a dirty diaper because these words, filthy rags, are translated exactly as a dirty diaper, a used diaper. So if you think your righteousness is going to get you somewhere, you know, mosey on up next time to an infant that needs a change and you'll realize how you smell to the holy God. You want God to walk around with a curled up nose around you, or do you want him to run to you? Our sin stinks and it cannot be hidden. I'm going to skip a bunch of really cool stuff that would actually make me look brilliant, but let's stand and go to the end. Even though your waffle is broken, you don't want to serve it to guests. Not really. Not really. It smells good. It tastes good. But you kind of want it to look nice. And even if your life is a broken waffle, listen, God still loves you. You're okay. He loves your heart. But let's try to tighten it up. Can we do that? And just let's come out of the cooker well. Matthew 26:26 says, now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, and he said, take, eat, this is my body. Jesus wants our brokenness so that he can make us well. Amen. The soul that continually says, it's all right if I'm broken. It's okay if I'm a broken waffle. It's okay. It's okay. Listen, the argument is not if it's okay. It is okay to be a broken waffle. It's great. But you miss and pass up the glory of being the good waffle, of being the one that could pray somebody else through. You miss the joy of being the one that can pull somebody out of hell with a strong arm, as the Lord says. You miss being the one that the Lord says, hate the garment that is even spotted by the world. He says to hate it. You miss being that one that God could wake up in the night and tell you rare and extraordinary truth. He loves a broken waffle. But he's just waiting to pile you up with whipped cream and strawberries or butter and maple or however you like your waffle. Listen, God's got a preference too. And he deserves a waffle that's willing to hang in the cooker long enough. Oh, that's a whole nother sermon, but we'll forgo. How many understand so we can be done? Praise God for you. Praise God. Lord, I thank you for this group of people, Lord. We are all broken, God, from time to time. Teach us to be the ones that run to you. You can put us back together so we would be sanctified in your presence. So we wouldn't wrestle with purity all the time, that we would stand upon it and know it and be consecrated in it. we could walk before you and say, Lord, send me out. That I could do the thing you told me to do, even if it's just to my neighbor next door. Teach me to be the one I need to be in my family, in my work. Teach me, Lord, to wake up when you call me, and I could pray a whole nation back to your throne. In the name of Jesus, amen.
You have been listening to Reverend Sandy Kareen of the Revival Center in Clovis, California. For more information about Reverend Kareen or this ministry, please visit our website at therevivalcenter.info.